CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Israeli military says its forces have conducted a precise and targeted operation against Hamas inside Gaza's El Shifa hospital. Deputy and Acting Consul General of Israel in New York, Zach Sahar.
The Israeli tanks that are surrounding the hospital not only fighting the Hamas terrorists that are hiding within the hospital, but also facilitating routes for innocent people and patients to evacuate.
Hamas says it holds Israel and President Biden fully responsible for the Israeli military's raid of El Shifa. Thousands of people rallied on Washington's National Mall to voice solidarity in the fight against Hamas. Israeli President Isaac Herzog addressed the crowd by video, and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer took the stage as part of a bilateral group supporting Israel.
We are here united, Democrat and Republican, House and Senate, to say we stand with Israel.
The House passed Speaker Johnson's bill to prevent a government shutdown this week, sending it to the Senate. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Seems to be the fear that the Republicans who gave the new House Speaker a pass this time will be less likely to do so next time, you know, cutting a deal with Democrats, and that there's going to be a forceful, politically forceful attempt to exact more cuts, more controversial policy riders, and the next battle could be the long one that leads to a protracted government shutdown.
At his federal trial, the man accused of attacking former U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband with a hammer last year has apologized. David DePapp spoke of conspiracy theories and a plot to end what he viewed as government corruption. CBS's Elise Preston.
In his testimony, DePapp says that he was not targeting the Pelosi's, specifically Nancy Pelosi, because of her congressional duties. And in his testimony, he said that he was not trying to stop her from her official business. Of course, in police audio that we have heard and what the prosecution kind of got at, they countered that he had said that he wanted her to wheel into the House floor in a wheelchair.
Newly released Customs and Border Protection data shows apprehensions of migrants who entered the U.S. without legal permission dropped below 189,000 last month, a 14% decrease from nearly 219,000 in September. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
October, about 30,000 Venezuelan migrants entered Border Patrol custody. That's a 46% drop from September. And this has coincided with the Biden administration's decision to start deportation flights direct to Venezuela for the first time in U.S. history.
This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high profile.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The American Family Field Bill is on its way to Governor Evers, and he said he'll sign it. It spends more than $500 million of public money for upkeep to American Family Field. The amended bill passed the state Senate Tuesday morning and then the Assembly late in the afternoon. The amended bill asks more of the Brewers, less of state taxpayers, and adds a tax to non-Brewer events at the stadium. Expect slow going if you're traveling home for Thanksgiving. More than 1 million people in Wisconsin are expected to travel 50 miles or more for the holiday. AAA says that would be the third highest number for Wisconsin since 2019. By far, most will travel by car, but 113,000 plan to fly. A week from tomorrow is expected to be the busiest day at Wisconsin airports. Expect delays up to 80% longer than normal. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks beat the Bulls. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Chicago Bulls 118-109. Packers quarterback Jordan Love was in attendance and witnessed a few milestones. Giannis, with 35 points, hit his 500th career three-pointer. Chris Middleton added 13 to become the Bucks' fifth all-time leading scorer, surpassing Michael Redd. Middleton after the game.
I mean, first, salute to Michael Redd. I mean, he's been a mentor of mine since I've came to Milwaukee, took over his number a little bit, but he's been a great person to reach out to time to talk to.
Baseball reports say the Brewers are looking to promote bench coach Pat Murphy as their next manager. In Chicago, Craig Counsell introduced as the new manager of the Chicago Cubs. Counsell says he'd been thinking about leaving the Brewers almost 2 years.
Thought that a new challenge was where I had to push myself. Really, it's about growth.
As Craig Counsell with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Craigscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning clear in the overnight. Breezy south winds turning to the northwest. Some gusts up around 25 miles per hour. Our low, 40 degrees. On your Wednesday, sunny skies, and highs will climb to 57, partly sunny, breezy, and 63 going into Thursday. Right now, it's 58.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And the big kahuna right now, the biggest story of them all, is are we going to shut down the government in 3 days? Today is November 14. That extended funding goes to November 17. And it's beginning to look as if we are going to pass another continuing resolution to punt it ahead to two dates, one in January, one in February, on various funding authorizations to give people time. They have the Thanksgiving holiday come up, then they have the December holidays, Christmas, and the other ones, and have time to hopefully not do another continuing resolution, but do a full-fledged budget. And you know what's sad? It would only be till September 30th. This is one reason why we are paying billions, with a B, billions of interest that is absolutely unnecessary, absolutely unproductive, because the Republican Party continues to insist on blocking authorizations for budgets, that the last minute they have a bunch of right-wingers that still try to block it. And whoever is the speaker in this case, because they have the majority, reaches out, gets a few Democratic votes, and we kick the can down the road for another couple of weeks or months. That's why Moody's and the other bond rating agencies have downgraded us. Moody's downgraded us from stable to negative. This is U.S. Treasuries we're talking about. We are wasting billions with a B dollars by not passing budgets. I mean, no company would do that. But here's what's going to happen. In my judgment, here's what's going to happen. They haven't started voting yet. As I went on the air just now, there was not a vote. There will be a vote. It will be today, apparently. And the upshot of it is this. There are two ways to pass it. One is by submitting it to the Rules Committee for what's called a rule vote. Majority of that committee would have to approve, and then it would go out to the floor, and it would only require a majority to pass it. I'm talking about the CR, continuing resolution, that Mike Johnson, the speaker, has proposed. But if you're in doubt whether it would pass the rule committee and an initial rule vote by everybody, you can do it by what's called suspension of the rules. The speaker can. The only problem is that when that goes out to the floor, it requires a two-thirds vote, two-thirds of 435. It's a big number. The word coming out of Washington when we went on the air is that Mike Johnson has decided to do it as a suspension of the rules requiring 2/3. The only way he can do that, is if he thinks that he has an arrangement with Hakeem Jeffries that he'll get a lot of votes out of the Democrats. It's the only way he's going to get close to what? Not 290 votes, for Pete's sake. Let me give you the run-up, the dust-up to this thing. Mitch McConnell helped yesterday by endorsing Mike Johnson's continuing resolution, saying it was a responsible measure that will keep the lights on, but we still need supplemental resources, as he called it, meaning aid for Israel and Ukraine. And I agree with that. This supplemental, I shouldn't say it's supplemental, this continuing resolution provides funding for four areas until January 19, and the rest of them, the other eight, remember it takes 12 appropriation bills, by February 2nd. And the difference is the ones that expire unless there's a new budget for them on January 19 are no-brainers, apparently. Even the right-wing nuts on the fringe of the Republican Party will vote for them. Things like military construction, agriculture, veterans, that kind of thing. The other eight are the biggies. Defense, for one of them, that's about an $880 billion budget, $890 billion, maybe now a little more. We're in a shooting war right now in the Middle East. We have our planes hitting targets of Iranian proxies in Syria. We've done it a number of times. Our troops are getting shot at. And our ally Israel was attacked in a sadistic attack by the Hamas on October 7. And we are supporting them in their effort to eradicate Hamas, which has to be done. Here's another thing that Mitch McConnell said. Quote, regular order requires that Congress provide itself the time for careful consideration and thorough amendment. I'm glad to see that Speaker Johnson has produced a continuing resolution that would do exactly that. The fact is, though, as of yesterday and including today, Mike Johnson needs Democratic votes. Why do I say that? Because the margin is something like 221-12. He can only lose 3 or 4 votes. If he loses more than that, it doesn't pass without Democratic votes. And yesterday, 6 of the no-goodniks on the right wing of the Republican Party said they're not going to support it. 6 of them, enough to tank it. Who were they? Bob Good, the clown. He's a true clown, if you've ever seen him speak, from Virginia. Warren Davidson, an absolute backbencher. I never heard of him. If you'd ask me, is Warren Davidson in Congress? I'd say, I doubt it. Maybe in the 1830s, the idiot. He doesn't do anything. Marjorie Taylor Greene, voting against it. This one I love. George Santos voting against it. I mean, George Santos shouldn't still be in Congress. George Santos has been indicted up the wazoo. He drips felony indictments as he walks down the hall. We're not even sure of his name. Frankly, we really are not. He's used a different name before. If he tells you it's a nice day out, you can't believe it until you look out the window. This guy's voting against it to what? Just get a little attention? Chip Roy, he is a real bad news guy from Texas, if you've ever seen him speak. I think he's the guy with the half beard. Truly bad news. And one of the worst, Scott Perry. Scott Perry of Pennsylvania. He was in on the Green Bay sweep. He was in on plotting with Trump to overturn the election. He asked Trump for a pardon. He knew he'd committed a criminal act. You don't ask for pardon if you don't know you've committed a criminal act. I've never asked for pardon. Have you ever asked for pardon? You're going to call up the governor, the president, say, please pardon me for what? Because you did something wrong. That's why you did something bad. So those six clowns said yesterday they'd vote against it. Now more clowns have lined up to pose for holy pictures back home. I don't know who they think they're posing for. If we had a congressman that did something like that, I wouldn't vote for him in a million years. But for the fact that Mike Johnson, and I'll tell you, this is the guy that leaves no fingerprints, has no bank accounts, is flying a weird flag outside his office. He's weirder than a $3 bill, but he's doing something that Kevin McCarthy did and got recalled for. And the question is, why did Kevin McCarthy lose his speakership over doing exactly this? The answer is twofold. One is, once you've done it once, if the right-wing nuts try to do it again, I think Hakeem Jeffries would have to let some Democrats bail him out if he's willing to keep the government open. But secondly, there's some speculation it was based on personal animosities and dislike, absolute dislike of Kevin McCarthy. And I didn't fathom the depths of that until I saw what's happening with Mike Johnson now. One of the things that helped this was, in addition to Mitch McConnell endorsing it, which means it would pass the Senate, was Chuck Schumer endorsing it. And it was a real lackluster endorsement, but in the vernacular of politics, it said a lot. Here's what he said, Chuck Schumer, yesterday. This continuing resolution is far from perfect, but it refrains from budget cuts and extends funding for defense, the second tranche of bills. Now, the thing that Johnson did in this that surprised me and frankly gratified me was that he didn't put in deal breakers, you know, bust the deal between Kevin McCarthy and Biden last spring. Remember that? It provided for no inflationary adjustments. I didn't like that. Biden didn't like that. But it also provided for full funding for everything, including social programs. I like that a lot. So did Biden. This time around, I was afraid he'd put in a continuing resolution that got really cute. You know, maybe cut education by 10% and say, take it or leave it. He didn't do that. He didn't do poison pills either on immigration, abortion, or anything else. He just said, flat out, we'll do the McCarthy-Biden deal till January and February. And we have no choice, frankly, but take that, because that was the deal. And even though there are other things we want right now, like Israel aid and Ukraine aid, you take what you can to keep the government open. Above all, pay our troops, pay our sailors and Marines and airmen and soldiers who are in harm's way all over the world. Pay them and keep paying them. Now, right now, it is 2:18 p.m. And I'm not looking at a TV screen. I don't know if the voting has started. It's supposed to be today. We're going to monitor it. But I'm fairly confident that if Johnson's, whatever else I might say about him, and I've said plenty, is not a fool. And if he said, I'm going to get 2/3, he knows if he doesn't, he's toast. Okay, coming up. What's coming up? Some exciting things. How about this? How about how Trump planned to stay in the White House even though he lost the election? Coming up. Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The shot. 93.5 The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
News. These are videos. Videos of those witnesses making a proffer offer. Now, what's a proffer offer? A proffer offer is you're accused of a felony. Your lawyer goes to the prosecutor, not you, the lawyer. What the lawyer says to the prosecutor is not admissible in evidence against you. And he says, look, he represents Jenna Ellis. If you'll give us probation and a fine, we will agree to plead to a misdemeanor. We will give you good, juicy evidence against Donald Trump. Prosecutor will say, okay, what kind of juicy evidence? And your lawyer says, well, we'll make a proffer offer, but it has to be, quite frankly, protected so that if our negotiations fall through, it cannot be used against her at trial. That's very common. Prosecutor says, okay, they bring her in. Very sure at the beginning, the defense lawyer said, this is submitted as a proffer. If it yields a plea bargain, it can be used. If it doesn't yield a plea bargain, it cannot be used. Am I correct, Mr. Prosecutor? Yes, you are. Okay. Well, here's what Jenna Ellis said, and also the ones for Sidney Powell, Ken Cheesebrough, and this Hall character. But Jenna Ellis, she was a lawyer. She was a lawyer for Trump. And she said, Trump planned to stay in power despite the fact that he lost the election. Prosecutor said, all right, tell us what conversations you know about that. And in the video, I've seen the video, she said, I had a conversation with Dan Scavino. He was one of the White House figures around Trump. And he told me, quote, the boss, meaning Trump, is not going to leave under any circumstances. Now, this is after he lost the election, bumping up on Biden about to come into the White House. And he says, the boss is not going to leave under any circumstances. We are just going to stay in power. And Jenna Ellis said, well, it doesn't work quite that way. Doesn't work quite that way. Scavino said, we don't care. There was almost a decision made, and that's consistent with what Sidney Powell said in her proffer, and I assume what Ken Cheesebrough said, although I have not seen his. But what that says to me and says to anybody is Trump is going, okay, you know, he's an authoritarian. He quotes from Hitler and Mussolini. He's friends with Putin. He's not an American patriot. He doesn't believe in democracy. He has already said that some of the rules of the Constitution are going to have to be ignored or changed because he says so. It's pure Mussolini, pure Hitler, pure Putin, and pure Stalin. What this means is that he was gauging whether what happens if he doesn't leave the White House, just stays there. Now, if you rent an apartment and you don't pay the rent, they come to evict you and you just stay there, it's not as easy as you think to get you out. There has to be an eviction order. There have to be notices. Ultimately, what happens is the sheriff comes and says you have to leave. And if you don't leave, he doesn't want to shoot you. Theoretically, he can have deputies carry you out. But how bad is it if this is the White House? How bad is it if this is the White House itself and Trump is just sitting there, says, I'm not leaving, and he has Secret Service protection? Does Biden send in the army to carry him out? I think yes, at some point. And also his Secret Service protection expired at noon on January 20. But this guy was absolutely thinking of what I just described. We're going to the lines. Dick Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Dick, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, Matt. You know how they're constantly had been saying up until these two yahoos, until we've seen this taped interviews with Powell and the rest of them. We don't really know Trump's mindset. We don't know his mindset. Well, now, wouldn't this squash that totally? I mean, these people told him, and he, yeah, I know, but we're still going to stay. And then they cook up the crazy idea of how they're going to stay. I don't see how this isn't a slam dunk and we get on with this thing. I'm tired of waiting on it. The country needs to do. I, for one, seem to be the only one lately. I've been telling this to friends that the judicial branch of this government is going to have to save us at this point. This guy has to be stopped.
Right. Well, absolutely. And, you know, if he had stayed in, let's say he'd gone through that. He did try January 6th. He did try getting Pence to falsely say that there was doubt as to the electors, throw it in the House of Representatives, and then by a few more months while they argued about it in the Supreme Court. He did try that. But this is one of the crudest kinds of plans I've seen, although this kind of thing has been done in other continents. This has been done elsewhere. It's been done in Africa. It's been done in, we call it Oceania, some of the Pacific Islands. If the strong man doesn't leave and he has some army or military people who are loyal to him, what do you do? I mean, who's the president? Well, the Supreme Court basically said that Biden's the president, but it's kind of sad. I don't know what else I can say. That the new president at 12:01 p.m. on January 20 has to march up the driveway with a Marine detachment to what? Arrest Trump for trespassing? I mean, this is inconceivable. This is inconceivable. But he conceived it. He is absolutely desperate. And in upcoming segments, you're not going to believe some of the things he has reposted and said. Coming up, the Supreme Court, a new code of ethics. Does it have any teeth? I see you in the lines. I see you right now. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you very shortly.
It came right back to me. She wrote up on it.
Listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Administration officials say the U.S. has intelligence that terrorists are using hospitals in Gaza and the tunnels underneath them. Pentagon spokeswoman Sabrina Singh.
Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad uses some hospitals in the Gaza Strip as a way to conceal and support their military operations and hold hostages.
Thousands of people gathered on Capitol Hill today to show their support for Israel in its fight against Hamas. House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries was there.
An attack on any of us is an attack on all of us. And we are going to do everything possible to stop the anti-Semitic attacks against our Jewish brothers and sisters.
The House has approved Speaker Mike Johnson's proposal to fund the government until early next year. Minnesota Republican Congressman Tom Emmer.
We're bringing common sense back to the nation's capital with the Speaker's two-step stopgap funding plan.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A number of Republican voting rules are one step closer to becoming constitutional amendments. One of the proposed amendments, passed by the state Senate Tuesday, would require voters to show a photo ID issued by the state of Wisconsin. Another would require voters in Wisconsin to be U.S. citizens. A third would ban local governments and elections officials from using private donations to pay for their work. Wisconsin schools are doing better, according to the latest accountability report cards from the State Department of Public Instruction. 378 public school districts were evaluated, and 94% of them met, exceeded, or significantly exceeded expectations. DPI says achievement improved from last year to this year, though for many schools and districts, this year's performance is lower than before the pandemic. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning clear in the overnight. Breezy south winds turning to the northwest. Some gusts up around 25 miles per hour. Our low, 40 degrees. On your Wednesday, sunny skies and highs will climb to 57, partly sunny, breezy, and 63 going into Thursday. It's 57 at our studios.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Earl Ingram, 93.5 The Tap. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering healthcare to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap. Across Wisconsin, it's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Sunny skies and calm this afternoon with highs around 59. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows level off around 40. High temperatures reach up to 63 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering health care to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-278. Now we're going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Start with Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jean. What's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Thank you for taking my call. You know, you brought up a really outstanding topic the other day about the violence and the chaos and the behavior of the mega Republicans. I'm just calling Republicans now because I don't think there are any normal ones left. And today, I saw something that I have never seen, and I've watched for years, Matt, you know, for at least 20 years, our government live. And I couldn't believe, you know, this Oklahoma senator, and Mullen is his name, and he challenges, it was in a hearing, you know, on unions and things, and he was harassing the Teamster president, and he was challenging him to a fight in the middle of a hearing. I thought, where in the devil garbage can did they pick you up, mister? I mean, this is our gosh darn Senate that runs our country. And then the different instances of violence in our house where people are elbowing somebody in the kidney and chasing them down the hall because they're another Republican mad at another Republican. I mean, what in the world? People need to really pay attention to this stuff. Watch them. Watch Boebert be questioned on different things she brings up, on bills or amendments or whatever. She don't even know what the devil she's talking about, and she gets questioned on it finally. And she don't know what the devil she's talking about. She can't even explain it. There is something really, really disturbing about this picture. And it's not only Trump needs to go. I mean, he shouldn't even be walking loose on the streets, all the chaos and lies and fraud and violence he has caused. But these other people who are being paid by our taxpayer dollars that are soon to not have a budget maybe, and who's already caused our ratings to go down at Moody, well, folks, these people, you need to pay attention what they're doing with your time and your trust. And it's, anyway, I'm sorry, Matt, right. I couldn't believe it when I saw it, and he kept trying to stop the fight, and it's like, what in the, and right. He wanted to get up, and he wanted to fight him. Anyway.
Yeah, right, yeah. Let me respond to that, and then we'll go to the next caller. It's an excellent call. Gene is referring to two incidents that happened. One, this Mark Wayne Mullen, he's a senator from Oklahoma, he's a thug. He is a cage wrestler. I mean, he was a wrestler. And he liked to go into cages where they locked the door and one guy beats the hell out of the other. He loved that. So he not only did this with the head of the Teamsters, he threatened the head of the UAW, Sean Fain, in a previous hearing. He gets up and he says, let's step outside and take care of this. And, today he took off his ring so it wouldn't hurt his finger, started to walk around to get at the guy, and Bernie Sanders, the chairman, he said, look, you're a U.S. senator, and the guy finally sat down. He's an absolute thug. He hates unions. He hates unions. He has some business, and he would threaten people if they want to unionize. He's a dangerous individual. He should not be in the Senate, and the people of Oklahoma should be ashamed of themselves. And the other thing that you alluded to, the elbow and the kidneys, and this happened today. A guy named Burchett from Tennessee, these are all Republicans doing this. Burchett was giving a stand-up to somebody on MSNBC. Kevin McCarthy came by and elbowed him in the back. And Burchett ran down the hall after him and then said, well, you know, in Tennessee, we handle this man-to-man. These people are sick. This is the U.S. Congress, and this is within the Republican caucus. All of this violence has come out of the Republicans. Knock it off, because they're ashamed of themselves. They know that they are betraying the United States and betraying our economy. And Gene was right to call it out. I appreciate it. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Andrew?
Good afternoon, Matt. Boy, Gene had some good points, but I want to add one more to what Gene said, and it's terrifying me, so I'm almost afraid to let this. They got rid of the metal detectors before the new GOP was even sworn into the House. Okay, on to Jenna Ellis. None of that surprised me. I was saying after the election results came in, he's not leaving. The only way he's leaving is kicking and screaming. He's not going to leave. And I was amazed. I was amazed that he did leave, but always knowing, you know. But I think what happened is there were people, high-level government positions, that were just not going to let that happen. But what I'm hearing right now is he is using the computer system Oracle to vet 54,000 people to take over the 50,000 jobs in Homeland Security, DOJ, the Justice Department, all anything that could slow him down from doing exactly what he wants to do. So chew on that for a minute, Matt.
Yeah, well, excellent call. Let me respond to that quickly and go to the next caller. You're absolutely right. Two things on the metal detectors. Nancy Pelosi had them put in, and Lauren Boebert avoided one of them, and she brought a Glock pistol onto the floor. She did. Several other people avoided it. They walked around it, and when that happened, they were supposed to be fined $5,000 and withheld from their pay. And they brought lawsuits about that and lost, but one of them did something very sneaky. He never had any pay. How did he never have any pay? Because he claimed 500 exemptions to the IRS. And so he didn't have to pay anything. But then when it came to the tax tax form that he filled out, he put the correct number. You know, maybe he had two kids or whatever. But in the meantime, they didn't withhold anything. So it couldn't go to the house. And then he didn't owe any taxes. And he got his pay circumventing Nancy Pelosi. These people are sick. There are no metal detectors. You're right. And the danger is twofold. One is you're going to get a guy like some of these thugs that want to settle it outside and all that kind of thing. At some point, if one of them gets struck or gets angry, he'll pull out a gun. The other thing is, I assume they still have metal detectors for the general public going in the gallery. But in 19, I think it was 48, the late 40s, there were a bunch of people went in with guns and there were no metal detectors. And their cause was Puerto Rican independence. And they opened fire on the floor and shot a lot of congressmen. That happened in the late 40s. They are, quite frankly, they don't deserve to govern. It's not just immaturity, it's stupidity about violence. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind at Wisco Paul?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Matt. Thanks, Jeannie, for your call. I couldn't call yesterday because I was a little upset and I didn't want to get too carried away. But the first thing I'd like to say is thanks to all the restaurants that served the vets free meals. If I would have wanted to, I could have had breakfast, lunch, and dinner on Saturday. And that was it's just so awesome to take care of the vets that way. So my hat's off to all the restaurants that did that. And as a retired Teamster, by the way, a guy in Oklahoma, you're a clown, and that's the only response I have for you. But I want, and also one other thing, I'm jumping around a little bit. The Supreme Court is corrupt, Matt, and you can, you know, it just is. It's just totally corrupt. And some of the rulings have had some devastating effects on our government. But this is what I got worked out about on Saturday is Trump's speech he made on Veterans Day. That had nothing to do with veterans. In fact, it was insulting. It should be insulting to the whole country. And what really ticks me is the media didn't cover this enough. This should have been covered by all the media, what this guy said. He's talking about a dictatorship here. And I mean, I'm not going to go on and on about this, but it was just a sad day for America on Saturday. If you listen to Trump's speech, anybody out there, I'd like to have some Republican defend that stuff. It's undefensible. And what's really sad is he's still behind the scenes. Come on, GOP, for goodness sakes. So anyway, I'm gonna end it on a high note here. Thank you, restaurants, for Saturday. And thanks for your show, Matt, and your callers.
Right. Thank you, Paul, for an excellent call. And what Paul's alluding to, in a speech on Veterans Day, he not only didn't do anything for veterans, but he quoted Mussolini and Hitler, describing all of his enemies as Marxist vermin, V-E-R-M-I-N, in other words, you know, rats, they're pestilence. And this is something that the Nazis did in the 30s. They would show a picture of people whom they didn't like. And then suddenly it would be sort of like a crude photoshopping, and it would be a whole nest of rats. It'd give you the creeps, and they go scurrying out. And he said, and I remember he also said that some people are poisoning our blood. That came right out of Mein Kampf. But he has the, and one thing that he just did, he reposted something on his social media. So somebody else wrote this, but he reposted it and endorsed it. That said Letitia James and Judge Erdogan in New York should be subject to a citizen's arrest. He's right in the middle of the case, subject to a citizen's arrest. Arrest the judge. That is something that the authoritarians did in the 20s and 30s. Remember, he also came out and said that Mark Milley, the former chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, should be executed. Now, none of this has had a consequence for him. Why? Because the gag order in the New York case applies to court staff. It doesn't apply to the judge and Letitia James. And the gag order in Washington, D.C., if he did that with Jack Smith or Tanya Chutkan, would apply, but it's been suspended pending the appeal. And he is so far ahead in the Republican primary, he thinks that he's impregnable. You can't lay a glove on him. Imagine being in a lawsuit that's seeking $250 million for your fraud, and it's already been determined that you did commit fraud. And you say that the judge and the prosecutor should be subject to a citizen's arrest. Imagine that you have somebody running for president who on Veterans Day says that all of the Marxist criminals, vermin, who oppose me, Marxist criminals and vermin who oppose me should be arrested, and I will get them when I get in. Who in God's name is considering voting for this guy in the Republican primary? What's this all about? Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. You're next. What's your mind, Bill?
If you want to hear how he's promoted that Clay Sexton and Buck Travis, who replaced Limbaugh, they're promoting him like he's the second coming of Christ. But here's two points I want to stress on. One, this man has actually declared war on America, and he's walking around free. These judges have repeatedly said, one more mistake and you're behind bars. He's made 20 mistakes, and he's still not behind bars. How can America be so afraid of this man? I grew up in a country where our politicians were revered. They had accountability. They had honesty. They had dignity. They had clarity. This guy has none of it, and he threatened.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
The corner of 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Visit roberthackdiamonds.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the Supreme Court finally chickened out with all the pressure, and they announced it is adopting a new code of conduct. Well, I am underwhelmed. It's 8 pages. It basically mimics the lower court code of conduct, the one that court of appeals judges and trial judges have to follow. But there is a problem with it. There is a very serious problem with it. It talks about suggestions. It doesn't enforce anything. Here's what it says, quote, "It's important to avoid impropriety and the appearance of impropriety." Duh. Well, yeah. Well, what is impropriety? How about Clarence Thomas being on the take for 20 years? How about Gorsuch getting, I think, a $500,000 gain in a crummy little fishing shack in Colorado when he couldn't sell it before? How about that? How about others, people like Alito, taking expensive trips, and their donors signal how they want them to vote simply because of the parties in the cases or because of public speeches they give, or they're just simply right-wing stuff? Well, here's what it says going on. It says, don't use taxpayer-funded staff to any substantial degree. For instance, non-court work such as book sales. What does to any substantial degree mean? Give me a break, okay? Don't use taxpayer-funded staff too much. Well, how about not at all? How about not at all? There are 53 uses of the word should. We should do this. And only 6 of the word must. And it's really just a friendly suggestion. It's not binding. It's not enforceable. Sheldon Whitehouse, great senator from Rhode Island, said that there has to be a code of ethics, and it's not binding unless there are mechanisms to investigate possible violations and enforce the rules. The fact is, the honor system has not worked for members of this court. They need an enforceable ethics bill, and this is not it. It's a fake to let the tarantulas keep taking money. Go to the lines, Kurt of Madison. Thanks for calling, Kurt. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Matt. You know, I've mentioned this to you before, but after a caller a while back, I think it's more pertinent than ever. What I see at this point in my life is a long, ongoing set of circumstances where there's never any repercussions for those actions taken. I can cite so many, I wouldn't know where to begin. But if you look what's happened with police officers, like in Minnesota, it was so obviously blatant. Yeah, he was found guilty, but look at all the hurdles that had to be jumped. We have politicians and governors and other leaders who are literally acting like a bunch of petulant children. And the problem is there's no consequences. And I'm going to just say one more thing, and then you can tell me I'm wrong. But I am tired of any judge laying out an order, which, let's just call it for what it is. It's not a threat, but it's like, if you do this, X will happen. Don't say you're going to do something and then not do it. Because what you do by that is you teach all of us that there's no penalty when the rules are broken. Trump has done this over and over and over again. I'm tired of it. I get angry. Either our laws mean something or they don't.
I think that's an excellent statement. And I'll give you some analogies. It's sort of one parenting 101 is, if you don't tell the child you're going to do something or there'll be a consequence if they do something and then it doesn't happen. All they do is get to realize it's not going to happen. Trump, among many other things, is also infantile. He's infantile. And what's happened is, and Kurt, this is my explanation why I think that they're not enforcing some of this stuff, is twofold. One is, he's running for president and he's a former president. If some guy in the inner city of Milwaukee did what he did, frankly, if you or I did what he did, and said that the judge should be arrested and so should the prosecutor, and said that and ginned up a death threat against the judge in D.C., we'd be in jail right now. We really would be in pretrial detention with no access to a phone out. You can get mercy calls in from your family. That's it. The difficulty for these judges is this. He's running for president. He's ahead in the Republican polls. The law should apply equally to everyone, but what is the consequence if you put him in jail? What they're doing is searching for some consequence. Now, the reason why in New York nothing's happening to him now is because the gag order only applied to court staff, not to the judge and not to the prosecutor, because the judge, in my opinion, unwisely thought that would make it look too protective and so on. He didn't really think that he threatened the judge or Letitia James. Well, he's already done it several times. I think that gag order has to be extended to the judge and to Letitia James. And even if it looks self-serving, so what? If he does it again, I've said this in prior shows, there is a holding cell for prisoners in courts. It's like a jail cell. And you can order them there for several days and say, Mr. Trump, follow the bailiff there. We're going to handcuff you and we are going to put you in the holding cell like anybody else. Letitia James, she did enter an order that would have covered this if he did it in D.C., but he appealed it to the Court of Appeals and it was suspended pending the appeal. He then violated it in absentia, so to speak, while it was suspended. She reimposed it. Then the Court of Appeals lifted it pending the appeal. He's claiming First Amendment. This isn't First Amendment stuff. You don't get to threaten a judge. Try it. Go out on the street and say, I think this judge should be arrested or killed. That is a criminal offense. You don't even need a gag order. What people are reluctant to do with the guy is he's running for president. Not that that means he's special, but there's political consequences with tens of millions of people if you put him in a holding cell. You know there will be. I think it's necessary and worth it to do it, but that is a judgment that some very reasonable people are disagreeing on. But you're right. You can't tell even a child there's a consequence if you do this, and then that consequence does not occur. Well, coming up, there is a rally for Israel in Washington, D.C., with tens of thousands of people. That is coming up, and news and weather.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. The Todd Alba Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The Israeli military says its troops are battling Hamas fighters inside Gaza City's biggest hospital. CBS News military consultant and retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland.
It's one thing to fight an adversary in battle. That's horrific enough. But to try to do it in a hospital that's got newborn babies in incubators, severely injured people, doing it at night with no lights, doing it in confined facilities, this puts these Israeli soldiers in an enormously difficult position to conduct those operations, protect themselves, and avoid all possibilities any additional civilian harm.
American intelligence agencies say they have confirmed that Hamas is operating and holding hostages in tunnels below hospitals in the Gaza Strip. In a powerful show of support, thousands of people came to Capitol Hill to say they're on Israel's side in the fight against Hamas.
Bring them home! Bring them home!
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, among the many speakers at the rally.
Even in its darkest days, the United States has always stood with Israel, and we will do everything.